Merry Christmas! Oh, Christmas time is so full of so many wonderful things that we've come to look forward to, right? Let's just take just a second. I just want to hear from you. What do you love about this season? And I'm going to start. Eggnog lattes. Amen? Can I get an amen? What do you love? Shout it out. Yes, the Christmas carols. Wasn't that great this morning? The music, yeah. Eggnog. Lights. The gifts. Christmas tree, yeah. What's that? Yes. Family, yeah, yeah. Oh, isn't that great? There's so much. I'm going to add to that list this year things I love about Christmas, Amazon Prime. Oh, man. This season has so many things we love. So many things that we've come to love, and because we do them every year around this time of year, we come to expect them. We look forward to them. And these things become our traditions, and some of the things that you said are our traditions. One of my family's fun Christmas traditions every year is to have one of our kids do a scavenger hunt. Anybody do that little scavenger hunt for your kids? A couple of us, yeah. So, you know, we're going to give them something a little bit bigger or something we know that they've been looking forward to. And so we, you know, select one of our kids one year and another the other year. And they have to put clues together to find a great surprise at the end, which then is a great gift, something they've really been wanting, something we know they're going to be excited by. So we start by writing a simple little poem, and we stuff it into the Christmas tree, right? And they get the simple little poem, and they read it, and then that poem leads them to the next place where they find a little card and another simple little poem, and they read it, and you can watch their little wheels turning as they're trying to figure out where is this next clue, you know? And then they go to the next place, and they get another simple little poem, and finally, you know, they're running around, they're so excited. We're watching them, we're excited, and finally they come to where the gift is. You know, the last poem leads to where their surprise is. So we hide clues in the refrigerator, in the microwave, under a pillow, in the garage, on a tree, in the woods, on the porch, wherever. I must make a confession. One year we did hide the clue in the bowl behind the toilet bowl, you know, in that little basin thing in a plastic bag. So, you know, you can get creative. It's just so cool, you know, because just watching them, they're so excited, and so are we. One year, Liam got a snowboard that way. Another year, he got a basketball goal that way. One year, our girls got a big gymnastics mat. And I'll never forget how excited Karis was when she got a big stuffed horse. You know, the toy of the toy variety, not the taxidermy variety. That might have been more traumatic. But these scavenger hunts always have three things in common. There are clues. There's a gift, and there's a surprise. These three words are actually a pretty good way of describing the birth of Jesus, the whole reason why we even have this season. It might be a little bit obvious, too obvious just to point it out, but, you know, no Jesus, no Christmas, right? We'd have something else. Am I the only person who remembers Festivus? Seinfeld, right? No Jesus, there actually might be Festivus, you know, and the airing of grievances and the feats of strength, or something else. It'd be some sort of winter thing, but it wouldn't be Christmas. It'd be very different. In many ways, the birth of Jesus comes after many clues, and it's a great surprise, and it turns out to be a great gift. There were lots of clues about the one who would change everything who was going to come. And these were written centuries before Jesus was even born. So the Old Testament is that part of the Bible written before Jesus was born. It covers about, most of it covers about 2,000 years of the history of the Jewish people. And there's lots of clues in there about who this man would be. You know, who is this Savior who's going to come? Now, these clues are written hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And you can read them for yourself. They're in there. And these clues said that one was coming who was going to save the world. Now, these centuries-old clues, and there are dozens of them, they said that this man would be born into a certain tribe, and not only into a certain tribe, but into a certain family in that tribe. They said that he would be born in a little village called Bethlehem, said that he would spend time in Egypt, said that he would end up in Galilee, and that he would end up making Galilee famous. And it said that he'd be born to a woman, and not just any woman, but actually a virgin. And the prophecy said this baby would be the Son of God. There are lots of clues, and there's only been one person who has ever walked this earth who fits that description. And there's lots of clues, and there's lots of surprises around Jesus' birth. That whole part about the Savior being born to a virgin? One of the biggest ones, wouldn't you agree? We just heard Mary's song read from the Bible, read from the book of Luke. Now, Luke, who put that down in writing so that we could remember it, Luke researched the story of the birth of Jesus because he was a doctor. Thankfully, most doctors tend to be very concerned about facts. That's a good thing. Luke was a doctor. He was very concerned about writing down the accurate story of Jesus, and so that's what he set out to do in the Gospel of Luke that we heard read from. And he wanted to write down the story of the birth of Jesus just as it happened. And for obvious reasons, Mary gets a lot of press. Here she is. She's simple, humble, peasant girl, living in the middle of nowhere, in a time when that actually meant you were really in the middle of nowhere. And she's a young teenager. She's 13, maybe 14. An angel shows up to her and says, Mary, you're going to A, have a son. B, that boy is going to be the Son of God and the King of all things forever. And C, this is all going to happen before you are intimate with any man. And Mary simply says, well, I don't understand all that, but I trust you. Okay, I'm in. Be it done to me according to thy word, she said. And Mary's yes changed the world. Even though she didn't understand it at all, she just said yes. She just had faith. And with her faith in God came great joy. That's what we see in her song, right? You know, that's where she starts. She says, my soul, my spirit, the deepest part of me, the deepest part of who I am, where my deepest longings stir, where my deepest hopes reside, that part of me rejoices in God. That's where she starts. She says, I don't understand it all, but I believe, and I've been given joy. And then she keeps on going. And her words tell us a lot about who God is and what God does. You know, it's interesting. It's known as Mary's Magnificat. It's known as Mary's song, but it's actually a song all about God, isn't it? Did you notice that? If you look at it, you can see it. All this stuff about God is all here in just 7 verses. This is what we learn about God. God is holy. That means he's other. Which very simply means he is not like people. That's what God's otherness means. He's not like people. He's very, very different. God saves, we learn. We learn from Mary's song that God is mighty, but he's not just mighty. We learn from her song that he's also merciful and that he's strong. We learn that God pays attention to the lowly and fights for the needy. We learn about God that he doesn't go along with the powerful, but in fact, he humbles them. We learn that God speaks. We learn that God helps. And we learn that he's faithful, that God is faithful to his promises, even the ones he made centuries earlier. This is the God who noticed a young girl who no one else would have noticed, and he filled her with joy. A virgin girl who found herself pregnant. And Mary did give birth to a son. And she did call his name Jesus. And the world has literally never been the same. And for that, we can be most grateful. That a virgin would conceive and give birth to a son and call his name Jesus, that's a surprise, right? This is unexpected, right? You know, the fact that, of course, many of us are so familiar with this story diminishes how unexpected it is and how much of a surprise that it is. Lots of clues, but still a surprise. And we may not understand it all, but the Bible asks us to believe it. The Bible asks us to put our faith in it. And honestly, the Bible asks us to believe in other things that are even more surprising than this. Not always easy to understand. And I think there's at least four. One of which we just covered. That a virgin had a baby. Another surprise about Jesus is that the Bible teaches that Jesus is God. And that he came to, and this is God, come to earth as a man. Now the latest count, as I've been able to find it, the latest count of the number of galaxies in the universe is something like around 100 billion. Right? 100 billion galaxies. That is a lot. But then the number of stars in those galaxies is so much more than that. It's exponentially more than that. And then you think about the number of planets revolving around each of those stars. So much more than that. This is a one followed by a lot of zeros. Right? And the Bible says that the one who made it all, the one who made each planet going around every star in every solar system, in every galaxy, the Bible says that the God who made all that God became a man, became a human being in flesh, and that he came to this planet, ours, Earth, 2,000 years ago, in a specific time, in a specific place, in a very specific way. The Bible says that Jesus is the one who made it all and that he came here so that we could know what God is like and most fundamentally so that we could know that God loves us, each of us, as individuals, every man, woman, and child. Just like God did not forget Mary, God forgets nobody. And that's why Jesus came, was to show us that God is love. This is surprising, right? This is surprising, friends. We cannot lose the wonder of what we call the incarnation. And this is just what the Bible teaches. All right? Third surprise is that this Jesus lived a normal life for the most of his life. But then he allowed himself to be unjustly killed. He laid his life down as an offering for the sins of anyone who would believe in him. This we call the crucifixion. Now, the vast majority of people walking this planet know that we're not perfect, right? You know, if I were to ask you, do you know that you're not perfect? All of us would raise our hands. We know this. We know it in the marrow of our bones. We know that we fall short. We know that we sin. We know that we are not who we want to be. We are surprised by our own capacity for selfishness, right? We are surprised by our own capacity for anger. We are surprised by our own capacity for apathy. We know that we're not made right yet. We know that we can't even live up to our own standards, let alone God's. And we know this. And you know what? God looks down and he says, I know that too. I know that too. That's why I'm offering you forgiveness. Because I love you. I want you to be free. And he does this through the death of Jesus on the cross. This is surprising. The Bible says that no matter what you've done, all hope is not lost precisely because of Jesus. There's not one thing that we've ever done in our life that God looks on that and says, I can't forgive that. No, he says anything and everything that you've ever done, I know it and I want to forgive it. This is a surprise. The fourth big surprise about Jesus we call the resurrection. So Jesus dies, actually, on this cross, but 3 days later, for heaven's sakes, he rose from the dead. And again, we're so familiar with this as an idea that we lose the wonder. When's the last time you know somebody rose from the dead? It's surprising, isn't it? Right? And this gives us an immense amount of hope. You've heard it said that the two things you can count on are death and taxes, right? Well, taxes, yes. But death, it actually gets a little more nuanced because of Jesus. The great hope of Jesus for the world is that death doesn't have to have the last words in our lives or the lives of those we love. The Bible says that Jesus rose from the grave and he conquered death so that those who believe in him can live forever in a world made whole, a new world made right. This world recreated and redeemed, functioning the way that it's supposed to. That is the hope that Jesus' resurrection gives us. And this is really good news, especially the older you get or the more time you spend on the Beltway. So remember the scavenger hunt? Right? Clues, surprises, and a gift? Well, there's lots of clues. I just named these four big surprises. So what's the gift? What's the gift of Jesus? Well, friends, there are just too many to count. Now, it's true. It is true. And, you know, Jesus is very clear about this, and I want it to be as well. Those who sign up for Jesus and start believing in him and start trusting in him and start trying to do what he says are also signing up for a lot of unique challenges. Jesus was very clear that he wants us to know what we're getting into before we say yes to him, because it's not going to be a walk through the park with Jesus. Jesus will walk with us, but it's not always through the park, if you know what I'm saying. Right? But the rewards far, far, far outweigh the cost. So just a couple of gifts that Jesus gives to us. You know this. Christmas is actually a hard time for a lot of people. Right? You know, for some folks, it reminds them of what they don't have. Or what they've lost. For some folks, it serves to remind them who's not with them around the tree Christmas morning. I keep on waiting for the ad on TV, that kind of shows Christmas the way a lot of people experience it. You know, that it's not all warm and cozy and fuzzy and happy. But actually, for a lot of folks, Christmas is actually a time of actually depression and pain. So you remember, though, how Mary started out her song with joy? My soul, my spirit, the deepest part of who I am, that deep part of me, that part of me rejoices. Friends, Jesus wants to give us that kind of joy, too. He wants us to come alive. He wants us to be who he made us to be. He wants us to be far better than we ever thought we could be. And he wants to give us this as a gift. He just wants to give it to us. He promises to give us joy. I have come that you would have life and have it to the full, he said. You know, other folks have been restless for so long that they don't even believe that peace, you know, that deep peace is even possible anymore. And boy, didn't we hear a testimony to the contrary this morning, right? We heard a testimony of deep peace. And did you know that Jesus wants to give us this deep peace? And with Jesus, it's not only possible, actually, it's a promise. He'll do it. You know, he wants to give us joy. Another gift that Jesus wants to give us is a good life lived forever. That's a big reason why he came in the first place, so that we could live forever. It sounds too good to be true, but it is true. And this is the point. And this means so much when you are touching death up close, one way or the other. Another gift that Jesus wants to give us is a real relationship with them. He wants us never to be alone. And his presence with us is one of the ways that that happens. You know, when life is hard, Jesus wants to share the load with us. When life is good, he wants to rejoice with us. When life is intimidating, then he wants to give us strength. Sometimes when life turns scary, Jesus wants to walk right into it with us. Jesus wants to be with us, and he wants us to be with him in a real, living friendship. And we can do that because he can do that, and he wants to do that. Another gift that Jesus wants to give us is the gift of purpose. We all want our lives to count for something, right? Something? You know, the older you get, the more you ask that question, like, what will I have done anyway? Another gift that Jesus wants to give us is the gift of purpose. I can't imagine any more of a significant thing, anything of more significant meaning, than joining Jesus in God's work of redeeming and repairing the whole world, one life and one structure at a time. That fires me up with my own little efforts to think, you know, somehow I'm participating with God in his desire to see the world working right and to see his people who he loves full of joy because of their relationship with him. When I get discouraged about what it is that I do, I call to mind, Bill, you are part of something. Just do your part well. Don't worry about how it turns out. Don't worry about how big it is. Let the Lord do that through you and for you. He wants to give us purpose. So if you've ever doubted whether or not what you do has any meaning whatsoever, I beg you to try to understand what Jesus is really inviting you into and see if that holds the answer that you've been looking for so long. Like I said, there's just too many gifts to count. What are you looking for today, friend? What are you looking for? Are you looking for hope or joy or peace? Are you looking for purpose? Are you looking for freedom? Are you looking for life? Are you looking for God? Do you feel like your life needs to be rebooted somehow, restarted? You've got to give Jesus a closer look. And this Christmas season is the perfect time to do it. Christmas celebrates the fact that Jesus was born and that he came to give us all those things and more. Now, while it's true that there's a lot of clues about Jesus that seem to make sense of a lot of things, that part is true. It's also true that if you lay all the surprises of Jesus out there, you know, just put them on the table, right? Born of a virgin, God become man, died on the cross, but rose again from the grave. You put that all things all on the table at the same time, and it's quite a bit to swallow, right? That's a lot to ask us to believe. You know what it takes? It's very simple. It just takes faith. It takes faith. That's actually the point. Is we are asked to believe it as an act of faith. It's almost as simple as that. God says, here's the offer, and I invite you to receive it. I invite you to believe it. And this is where Mary is so helpful to us. You remember what she said when she was given a message that would have been too much to believe in? Remember? She was humble about it, wasn't she? She said, well, I don't understand all that, but I trust you. I trust you. Okay, I'm in. I am in. She said yes, and her life changed. 2,000 years later, the whole globe still talks about her. You know? God used her obedience to help change the world. Now, it's true that some great minds throughout history have utterly rejected Jesus. Right? They understand what's on the table. They look at it and they say, mm-mm, no, that's too much. That's too much. I can't buy that. But it's also true that many of history's greatest minds have believed in him. And they have found their lives totally changed, totally rebooted, and totally changed for the better. Now, it's a long list. It's a long list, actually. But the one who comes to mind today is C.S. Lewis. He's, you know, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, C.S. Lewis. So you might have seen the movie or read his books to your kids or something like that. You probably heard of him. He's one of the most influential writers in the English language in the 20th century, and he was formed in the fury of World War I. He saw death up really close. He lived through horror by being in the trenches of World War I. He himself was severely wounded, and he lost a lot of friends. He was formed in the reality of the brokenness of the world. He was also an Oxford professor. He was a poet. He was a philosopher. And for much of his life, he was actually a very committed atheist. One of his friends, though, came alongside of him and over a period of time helped him to see that Jesus made sense of everything, actually. That with Jesus, there's actually a profound coherence, a profound worldview. You know, St. Augustine, a very brilliant person who was actually kind of one of the framers of Western civilization in his thought and thinking, he said, "I believe so that I can understand." In other words, there are some things that we're not going to understand about the Christian faith until we put our weight on it, right? And then you can begin to realize, oh my gosh, this is actually profoundly coherent. This actually makes a lot of sense. This actually makes sense of a lot of things, you know? That's what happened to C.S. Lewis. And he decided to believe in Jesus. And so he writes this story. He wrote a little book about how he came to faith and about what that was like and what the reasons were and what difference he made. And so he wrote a little autobiography about his coming to Jesus. And do you know what he called it? He called it Surprised by Joy. Surprised by Joy. Well, you might be here today and not be so sure about Jesus, and that's fine. You know, all of us start out by being not so sure about Jesus. But you're looking for something, and you're hoping for something, and that's actually why you're here. Because you're looking for something, you're hoping for something. And I just have to tell you, I think you're looking for Jesus. I would suggest that if you're here today and you don't know him, it's precisely because God got you here, one way or the other, and he got you here because God is noticing you too, and that he's actually inviting you to receive all the gifts that Jesus has to offer. I think God wants to give you gifts this Christmas. And, you know, we would just love to talk to you about that. Love to pray with you. If you feel like, you know what, I've been thinking about this for a very long time, and I think today's the day. I think I want this Christmas to be the best one I've ever had. I think today's the day. I would like to invite Jesus into my heart. If you want to talk more about this or even pray with us, we would just love to do that. This morning, you know, after the service, John and I will be up front, and anybody else who's wearing a white thing around their neck, we'll be available. We just love to talk with you and pray with you. But, you know, that might not be something for this morning, but you might still feel something stirring. There's also going to be people with name badges around as well, you know, with this little, you have this card, it's a reboot card. They'd love to pray with you as well. But maybe you want to have a longer conversation about this. Maybe you'd like to just let one of us know, you know what, something was going on in my heart that day. I'm not sure I know what to do with that, but I'd sure like to talk to somebody about it. Then on the back of this card, you can just fill that out, and if you fill it out and write whatever you're going to write, put it in the baskets to the ushers on the way out, and I guarantee you someone will follow up with you very quickly, because we would love to share our joy with you. We would love to have you enter into the joy of the fellowship of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. God wants to give you so many surprisingly good gifts in Jesus, and you might not understand it all yet. You might not understand it all ever, and that's okay. And that is okay. God doesn't ask for our complete understanding. What he asks for is our faith. So all you have to do is say yes. And Jesus will come to you, and your life will start to change. So, God, thank you so very much. Thank you so very much for loving us. You know, when this world was broken, and And when you could have washed your hands of the whole thing, but you didn't. You didn't. You loved it. You loved it. You loved us. You loved people. And you sent your son. You sent your son Jesus so that we could know that you love us. So we could have hope. You came into the mess, Jesus, and we're grateful. Today we lift our praises to you and say thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. I ask, God, that you would send your Holy Spirit into our hearts this morning. Open our eyes. Enable us to see. Enable us to see and believe. Jesus, these things we pray in the power and beauty of your name. Amen.